Anybody, I don't care, you tell. I excel, they all fail. Gonna cocktail double L, motherfucker.
And back at you one more time, Soul Take Champions Live. Coming to you live and in serious color from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, City of Champions. You know how many we got. 6 Super Bowls, 5 Stanley Cups, 3 baseball championships, World Series titles, Bruno Sammartino, Maurice Stokes, NBA champion. Maurice Lucas, NBA champion. The great Kenny Durrett, greatest player in Pennsylvania history. The likes of Will Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, Billy Owens, the greatest players and high school players in Pennsylvania history. Just an endless list of championships. And this, don't get started about Mike Ditka and George Blanda and Joe Namath and all the greats that have come from here. So, and at some point, somebody's going to say the great and legendary athletes out of Aliquippa, but I'll leave that to somebody
exactly.
else. Exactly. I mean, feel free to throw a few names out there.
Hey, Tony Dorsett, Mike Ditka, Sean Gilbert, Darrell Revis, Ty Law. Pete Maravich.
On and on.
We can go
on
and on. But I do stand to correct you, Mr. Neal, when you start talking about City of Champions, I always tell you the Pirates are no longer relevant for – that type of comment. However, you mentioned 3 world championships or 3 World Series, and they actually won 5.
Okay,
because, again, I'm the greatest Pittsburgh Pirate fan of them all.
And I want you to echo that a little further, but I first want you to tell our listeners how they can find us, where they can find us, and what they got to do so.
Well, you can find us on urbanmediatoday.com, as well as you could connect with us on Twitter, Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. So hit us up on Twitter. We would love for you to connect with us. And go ahead, Bill.
Well, that being said, we are now counting on you, Vince Lackner. I told Kevin about the enormous process by which you communicate with your Yale alum. So we now are expecting you.
Another college in Cambridge, Mass, but that's okay.
Harvard, whatever. Yeah. Harvard, Yale, whatever. We're expecting you to link us into all your alum via your system now that you're part of the Champions Live family. So starting Wednesday, everybody that did some Harvard work, which you should be able to pick us up, tell them again, Kev, how they pick it up.
Again, they could go to urbanmediatoday.com and listen to us when this airs every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Or if they can't catch it at that time, they can also catch it at their convenience because the recording stays out there on the website.
So now, Beautiful. So I guess if it goes like that, Kev, then we might get honorary doctorates from Harvard.
We should.
If that connects us,
to use his influence to make that happen.
Well, I think that if Bill Russell got an honorary doctorate degree from Harvard, which he did, then the three of you would be deserving.
I would think so too.
And we didn't have 5 other Hall of Famers to help us.
You know what, Bill? Maybe one day we'll do this show directly from Harvard.
I ain't going to Harvard.
Yeah.
No, I ain't going to Harvard.
I think we can do it.
No, I ain't going to Harvard. There you go.
No, and have some lacrosse players on.
They ain't going to laugh at me.
We'll work on that.
They ain't going to laugh at
we'll
me.
We'll work on that.
All right, well, look, let's get back to. Pipers? Yeah, we're going to get back to. I mean, I want to do this before we wrap up the conversation on the Pipers. As part of that evening, we held the 5th annual Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League Hall of Fame inductions. And for those listening, we don't want to stay too centralized, but the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League was one of the top 10 summer basketball leagues in the nation from 1975 to 1990. And from 1975 to 1980, it was one of the top 5 leagues in the nation, behind the Harlem Rucker League in New York, the L.A. Summer Basketball League, which was sponsored by the L.A. Lakers, the Sunny Hill League in Philadelphia, the Washington Coalition League, and we came in 5th. All done by the Atlanta Constitution, who surveyed leagues that year, and backed up by a book called Heat in the Street, signed off by former Marquette basketball coach Al McGuire. That being said, this year's Hall of Fame inductees. I want them to hear their names loud and proud. Duquesne basketball great Jeff Baldwin. Also Duquesne basketball great Gary Nelson. Homewood Westinghouse great Jimmy Nichols. Dr. J, James Ely, went in this year. Gene Wilson, now the new basketball coach at Baldwin High School, which I think speaks volumes in a lot of different ways that an inner-city basketball coach was snatched out of the City League and hired by Baldwin High School. Levi Taylor, nicknamed Ice Cream, went into the hall this year. Rico Appendanza, who was one of the all-time great players in the league and one of the most exciting leapers in the league. Marcus Tomlin went in this year. The great Keith Starr, the 6'6", 6'7", point guard that played basketball at Pitt in 1972, long before big guards were ever heard of. Not only did he play point guard, he played great point guard. Then you had Nate Duck, Disco Duck as he was called, because he whirled and twirled and spinned on you, then he jammed on you. Kevin Murphy, Murph to Surf, small in size, mighty otherwise, went on to be inducted this year. Then we had Marvin Shake-Em-Up Bailey, a big-time slam dunker. And Steve Vanderveer. Now, we always talk about Steve being such a great player out of Robert Morris College, who would sneak up on you with 30 points at the end of the night and never said a word to you the whole bit. Gerald Scoot Warwick, who we are proud to say plays with the Harlem Wizards, just one step to the left of the Harlem Globetrotters. The Harlem Wizards tour the world as the Globetrotters do. Gerald Warwick out of Penn Hills High School. And I'm not quite sure of his college. I want to say Cal State, and I think he went to Cal State. But now a Harlem Wizard. So welcome to the Great Hall, Gerald Warwick. Then Maurice Brown, who was more recognized as a great football track man coming out of Westinghouse High School, ran track at San Jose State College with John Carlos and Jimmy Smith, missed the Olympics in Olympic trials by probably a second or two. Came in to be inducted as a defensive specialist. And Maurice would tell you, as Vince alluded to, I'm getting on you as soon as you pull your car in the parking lot. I'm jumping on you, and I'm playing defense till you pull out. And last but not least, Stu Lyons, the great Fox Chapel native who went on to Oregon State and then to Georgia Tech, went on to become one of the all-time great national players. Those were your 2018 Hall of Fame inductees. And we are proud to have all those guys in the now historic Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League Hall of Fame. But Vince, talk to us a little bit about those late night conversations we had and some of those personalities, the guys that came in. You got to know them pretty well, and some of the things they were saying were astounding.
Well, the second night, which went till 3 after the Saturday dinner, at the table were Barry Leibowitz from Brooklyn and Cal Graham, right, who's currently living in Sewickley. Mm-hmm. And that was just wonderful. And then, of course, there was Walt Zerbiak, who played for the Pittsburgh Condors just after the Pipers had finished their tenure. And it was just great, the back and forth and the back and forth. Barry Leibowitz has to be one of the funniest men on the planet.
He's a funny guy.
He is one funny guy. He claimed credit for the Pittsburgh Pipers championship. And the reason he claimed credit was because mid-season he was traded away for Art Haman. And Art Haman was instrumental in the Pipers championship. Right. And there was another year when Barry Leibowitz was traded away from a team that then also won the ABA championship. So Barry said he was the most traded guy in the league. But he was also meant he was wanted. And but he took a funny spin on everything. And then Cal Graham was a lovely guy, and great stories from the two of them about their experience with the Pipers. And I thought it was great. We didn't have them in the post-game analysis, but to have Connie's grandchildren, Sean and Kowina. Sean drove in from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I think it was a thrill for the Pipers to see Connie's grandkids there. And in fact, great-grandchild, because Kowina has a daughter named Serenity.
Yeah.
And she's getting married to a wonderful guy named Sidney Watson this August 22nd of this year, I think.
And both grandkids had Connie's height.
Yes, they did.
I mean, you know, easily recognizable as Connie Hawkins' grandkids, to be sure.
Well, Sean played around the world. He played in a lot of countries, including Taiwan, where he was a leading scorer, I think, for 2 years there. And he also has Connie's humility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty humble way about him.
Yeah, very much.
And just wonderful to get to know them.
Yeah.
Now, I might add, just a couple, there are a couple great lines in the little research I did before the weekend in reading about Connie, as I've done in the past. But there were a couple ones. One was, I think, the funeral program in Phoenix, which Mark White had sent to me. And it was quoted that Connie was told he defied gravity. His response was that he may not have defied gravity, but he did slow it down.
Yeah.
And the other funny comment I thought was somebody said that Connie's hands were so big that he could palm Sunday. And my brother confirmed it. My brother Dave, I saw him last night. Dave is 6 years younger than I am. So he was 11 when they won the championship, or almost 11. He was there at Game 7.
Yeah, he told me that, yeah.
In the Civic Arena. My brother Dave, not John.
Oh, okay, okay.
My other brother.
Okay.
And he said that he remembers specifically Connie getting a rebound and starting down the court and slips on water, ends up on his back with the ball, a defender trying to grab the ball from him, and Connie's using his huge hands to move the ball all around between the guy's legs, hand to hand, all around. The guy couldn't get the ball. He ended up flipping a pass to one of his teammates. But it really illustrated Connie's amazing ability to handle the ball with those huge hands and that great talent.
Well, I think a great number of people came out that night to remember Connie Hawkins. I know the Highland Park Tennis Association supported the effort, and they came out because Connie played a tremendous amount of tennis. We also have to thank the great Billy Knight for coming in from Atlanta, keynote speaker. Keith Starr flew in from Vegas. Jeff Baldwin came in from Texas. Maurice Brown came in from Washington, D.C. People from all over the country, as far as Oregon to New York to Miami. Just a great outpouring. And it wasn't a sad affair. It wasn't a sad occasion. It was a happy time. It was a great time. I know for a fact the Pittsburgh Pipers, all of those guys told me how appreciative they were, what a great time they had. And it's no small undertaking to get 75, 77-year-old men to, you know, get up and let's go do this thing. So to all of this, we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to Major Mark Whitett, the person that we've talked about a great deal, who's been on our show here. But it was because of his initiation and his inspiration to get this thing done that we owe a great debt of gratitude. And to his surprise, he got a standing ovation at the podium. But it is no surprise that this guy put in a lot of work, a lot of dimes out of his pocket to make this thing happen. We had great support from the Mark Cuban Foundation just a lot of people helped. The New Pittsburgh Courier, Rob Taylor, the editor of the Pittsburgh Courier, Paul Zeiss, and 93.7 The Fan did us a great service. Joe Starkey, we had great support from the Staples family, you know, helping us with graphics and getting things done that would have taken us through the roof. So we want to thank, you know, all those people and any and everybody that was connected. The Marriott Hotel deserves a thank you for all that they did. And Fallon, our hotel representative. And you, Vince. I mean, you came in with the bases loaded and knocked it out the park. So that should not be forgotten. It's appreciated as well. And these guys, Kevin, Trevin, and the guys from Urban Media Today, Talk Sports, did a live broadcast from the site. And I thought that was a great touch. You know, everybody was excited to see this live production going on. So
the press conference on Saturday.
Press conference, yeah. Right. Talk about it,
that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I've got that all on video as well, and it was also being tweeted by
Rico.
Rico.
From the Courier, yeah.
And so it's recorded.
Went around the world.
Around the world. And then I also videoed, at your request, the evening, Saturday evening. So I've got a 2-hour and 14-minute video. I now understand why God invented tripods. I use my left hand and I switched. I'm ambidextrous with my cell phone.
See, and all that time you spent in the gym shooting left-handed and right-handed,
it paid off. I might add, by the way, that for you and Mark to have attracted so much attention to this event and gotten the guys to come. In fact, Mark went around the country interviewing everybody, and that was fantastic. So my colleague Susan suggested that if this was the Pittsburgh Pipers who won the championship, the two of you were responsible for bringing so many people into town, we have to call you the two of you the Pied Pipers.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that. I can't like that. I'll take that. I'll take that. I like the way that sounded. Well, we put a cap on, as I said, what was a glorious weekend and 3 months in preparation, 4 months actually. So if you Pittsburgh Pipers are out there listening, and I'm sure they will be because they now have all the information to tune in. They left town with all the information about us. We thank you guys for coming in. We thank you for making it just a great time. And to remind Vince and Kevin and the rest of the city, this Friday at 4 o'clock, we're being invited to the chambers of Chief Executive Rich Fitzgerald, and they're going to bestow yet another proclamation on the Pittsburgh Pipers championship team. And Chief Executive Fitzgerald, with great apology for not being able to attend the event. He had a massive national thing going on here in town that kept him from coming over, but they want to show their respect and appreciation. It's going to be another proclamation presentation this Friday, 4 o'clock, at Allegheny County Chief Executive Rich Fitzgerald's office. So thanks to him, Councilman Dan LaValle, State Representative Austin Davis, and State Representative Ed Gainey. Just a lot of people contributed. I mean, this was a massive undertaking that everybody came together on, and I bet not forget to say the fabulous Sensation Models who came out and did the heavy lifting on the award. So many thanks to everybody. If we forgot about you, too bad, but we'll get you the next time around.
Now, a question on that, Bill. The Heinz History Center, is there any information regarding the Pittsburgh Pipers and the Heinz History Center?
They actually have information on the Pipers and Connie Hawkins.
Good.
Yeah, it's there, but more can be and should be done. So Mark Whited is going to be continuing that effort.
Okay.
Does the museum hold the trophy of the Pipers? Do we know where the trophy is?
You know what? I actually was there and saw what's there in my mind's eye, but I can't recall exactly what I saw. But yeah, there's some evidence there. But there's more that can be done, and we've been in conversation with them.
So we need to investigate that. What do you think, Vince? Bill, I mean, where is the trophy? I mean, if the city could go crazy over looking for Juju's bite, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, that plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, lost his bite one day, and the city was all over that.
Well, you know, Kevin, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to make this long because you've heard me pound this drum before. But for all that I said and for all the people we thanked, the city of Pittsburgh could have done more to have been a part of this. And I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to finger point, but as we've said numerous times, in 1968, Connie Hawkins was quite possibly the greatest player on the planet. He led the Pittsburgh Pipers to the ABA championship. To a man at the press conference, Vince will tell you, they all said we could have beat any team on the planet that year. So they didn't feel second to anybody. Because I specifically said, because you guys have beaten the Celtics, and in harmony, they said yes. So they were the best team in the world at that time. And this city could have done a better job embracing their return and making this thing even bigger and better. And I do want to offer this before I forget. Thanks go out to Chuck Sanders and the Savoy Restaurant for hosting the guys in the reception, and certainly for Chuck Sanders Charities. Gary White and all that they did to help make it a great weekend.
And who was the keynote speaker?
Billy Knight. Yeah, Billy Knight was tremendous. Funny, but typical Billy, you know, humble.
And just a little background on Billy for our listening.
Well, Billy Knight is out of Braddock, a local suburb here outside the city of Pittsburgh, where they literally grew basketball talent for a period of time, like Aliquippa grew football talent, man. Like every other house was a Division I player. And then went on to become an All-American at Pitt. He's one of four shirts hanging in the rafters at the Peterson Event Center on Pitt University's campus. Considered probably the greatest Pitt Panther of all time. Led the NBA in scoring 3 years, I think 2 years back-to-back, and also won the NBA Tennis Championship. So just a great guy, very humble. The entire time he was on stage, I don't think he said anything about himself in the NBA. He spoke and applauded the ABA guys. And I've gotten many texts and phone calls from guys that were there saying how greatly they appreciated being there. For example, Chris Seneca, the great player out of Penn Hills and Bucknell, was there and just was in appreciated the whole process. And Bill Brown, Coach Bill Brown, who's an assistant coach at Duquesne, was there and representing Duquesne University and just thought it was tremendous. And Bill Brown was a former Ohio State player, I do believe, who coached Cal State University to national prominence in the Division II level and is now the assistant coach over at Duquesne. So we appreciate Bill Brown coming out and being a part of it as well.
In connection with the upcoming recognition on Friday by the county, perhaps that could still happen with the city. And it's worth noting that the Pipers Championship of 50 years ago is the last major sports championship that we have won in Pittsburgh. The last one before that was the 1960 World Series. We've won all Super Bowls, of course, out of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We won our World Series games, I believe, in Baltimore. We've won every hockey championship in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pipers are the last major sports championship we've won in the city of Pittsburgh.
You hearing that, Trev? You're the historic guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing it. I'm just paying attention.
Soaking it all in, right, Trev?
Of course.
So, again, we will continue on for a little bit more with the process, and I'm sure Connie Hawkins, who passed away at age 75, you know, much too young in today's world, but leaves a legacy that will never be forgotten. I think every guy that took to the stage had something great to say about Connie Hawkins, and as I alluded to, I was in Connie's company in the presence of Will Chamberlain and Jerry West and Bill Russell and Elgin Baylor, and they all applauded Connie and recognized him for the great, great, great basketball player he was. So that being said, we'll get ready for this next delivery. And I think now...
And you know what, Bill? I just have to interrupt just for a minute here because, you know, here again, you're losing out on a lot of your favorite women. And I'm looking on urbanmediatoday.com. If you want to know what's going on, you need to... actually log into urbanmediatoday.com more often because, of course, they're listening now on that particular platform. But I see that Taraji
P. Henson
got engaged, man.
But that explains why she's not returning my calls. Now, that makes everything crystal clear. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think now's a good time to let you explain to us the hypocrisy that exists in your mind about the Pittsburgh Pirates. You say you're a Pirate fan. You claim to be a baseball historian, and you're wearing Pittsburgh Pirate gear, but you don't go to the game. You don't support the team, but you want us to believe that you're a fan. So I know Vince is confused. Even a Harvard grad can't decipher all that. So explain to us what the hell are you talking about.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Do you like being taken advantage of?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what it comes down to. The Pirates ownership is taking advantage of the Pittsburgh Pirates fans. And I hate to go political because I don't believe that this is the case, but I can tell you what people say when you start talking about Democrats and Republicans for African Americans. People say that the Democratic Party, some people I should say, takes advantage of the African-American race because we vote, for the most part, Democratic. And they're saying that we're being taken advantage of, which I disagree with that type of comment. However, when it comes to the Pittsburgh Pirates, I definitely believe that that is the case. The Pittsburgh Pirates, do you realize, Bill, there's 30 Major League Baseball teams? Where would you say the Pittsburgh Pirates are from a salary standpoint, team salary?
Well, I'll let Vince answer that.
Okay, before, where would you expect them to be with this size market?
Bottom of the ladder.
Okay. Well, I'll just save time, and they're 27. They have the 27th lowest team salary in Major League Baseball. And this continues year after year after year. So they're trying to win on the cheap. And I don't like teams that use that type of strategy. That's a bad strategy to use. And again, I can't stand Cleveland sports. But when you look up the road and you see what's going on with the Cleveland Indians, that's a comparable market, business market, Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. And they're doing things much better in Cleveland than we are in Pittsburgh from a baseball perspective.
So with these salaries so low, you would not call that moneyball?
Not at all. You have to be smart with spending your money. Just spending your money is not the answer. You have to utilize your money effectively. Matter of fact, they're putting a good portion of that money in their pocket. Okay, so I'm not talking about just not spending money because they don't have it. That's not the issue, because they're putting more money in their pocket than what they should versus going out and keeping players and bringing in players that are needed to go after a championship.
So it's kind of this little carrot stick in front of the donkey just to keep the donkey moving forward. That's what they're doing to the people of Pittsburgh. Got a little carrot stick, got a little player coming on board that was a good player here and a great player there, and just keeping us, teasing us a little bit, giving us a little bail at first place, and bringing gung-ho, young-ho back, and but none of it's for real.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what fool's gold is?
Yeah.
There you go.
You mentioned bringing players back. They did bring a player back. They brought McCutchen back.
And we're going to talk about that. Okay. Good segue.
But the problem, he was...
Good segue.
He was on a different team.
Exactly. But we do need to talk about that. Let's talk about that on the other end, Bill.
Well, let's do that. We'll be right back in a moment to talk about that and Tiger Woods, man.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com.
We are back trying to understand why a grown man with advanced education. Now, you made sure you pointed out to me, so where did you continue your education at? I know you're, all respect in the world, you're a military man. You served our country. We thank you for your service. But you got educated where after your service time?
Well, first of all, I got educated in the streets of Aliquippa.
Well, now,
That's
an education.
How's that?
That's all right.
Exactly.
No argument.
Exactly.
You know you will cut a guy.
And in the home.
All right.
And in the home. All so right. The foundation was
right.
there.
Right.
And then, like you said, I went off to the Army, did 6 years active, 7 years reserve, so 13 in total. Came back home with the Robert Morris University for business and worked a few years, and then went back to school and went to Katz Business School at the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's highly commendable, and Lord knows anybody that serves in any branch of the military service, unlike Donald Trump, gets all my respect. And let's not talk about the comment that was made in the White House recently about McClane dying and those kinds of things. But I did want to mention it. But having said that,
things roll downhill, right?
Yeah, they do. So listen, the part I'm having a hard time, and Vince may have figured it out already, and he's moved on past it. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out if you feel this way about the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you know that we're being taken for a ride, why would you buy and or wear the gear? Wouldn't your position be better if you boycotted everything Pittsburgh Pirates? Don't wear it. Don't go to the game. All that.
Well, then you're wasting your money. I mean, I bought all of my gear before the current state.
But you don't have to wear it.
Yes, I do, because, again, if not, I'll be wasting my money. Why would I want to buy something?
Because you don't believe in them. You're part of the masses. You're part of the masses being fooled.
I root for them. Okay. I watch them on TV, but I will not go to a game.
Okay, so that's the only part you draw the line at. You just won't go to the game.
Going to the game because you have to let ownership know that you're not happy. And the only way you can let ownership know that you're not happy is by hitting them where it hurts, okay, in the pocketbook. So take some money away and maybe they'll listen. So I'm not totally done with them. I do not want to go to the game and pay my hard-earned money to give it to ownership to do nothing with it. And that's what's been going on.
Well, let's put Vince on the spot. I'm not going to name names, but Vince has a couple friends over in that pirate operation. So, Vince, do you want to go on record or do you want to hedge here again?
No, he can't hedge.
He may have to hedge here, Kev.
I don't care.
Because he's got some.
He's going to hedge.
He's got some serious friends over there.
He's going to hedge himself directly out of here.
Well, I'm not sure what I should be bold about the Pirates and how they spend their money or not on players.
Just the state of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I have not followed them as closely as I follow basketball.
So that's a good thing, but go ahead.
Okay. So maybe that's a hedge. I don't have.
No, it's no hedge.
It's no hedge.
It's
okay.
Just fact.
It's a fact. So I don't have a strong opinion because I don't follow it closely enough, to be honest, on the baseball status.
You're just like normally not a big time baseball fan, or
I don't follow it closely.
Nor do I.
Yeah, we.
And that's why I have to sit here and educate you.
Well, I would say there's a great loyalty I think most of us feel to the team for its exciting history of winning the 1960 World Series. We have a pie that my mother makes to this day because we had a visit after the World Series from Bob Friend. And he came to our home, and I was 10 years old. And my mother made a pie, meringue pie with chocolate, for that occasion. And to this day, she's going to be 95 in 2 weeks. And she has a pie that she makes that's called Bob Friend Pie. So a lot of history, a lot of loyalty to the club that we feel. They have their ups and downs. But I should add that I know you, Kevin, and Mark Whitehead have a little bet going on.
I don't bet, man.
Well, but a battle, maybe a non-monetary battle, where you've estimated that the Pirates will win 65 to 70.
I'm right, he's wrong.
Estimated 65 to 70 wins. I think he estimated 76 wins. And right now, apparently, they're 23-17. So if you extrapolate that out, that's 40 games. That's one-fourth of the season. So that would get the Pirates at this pace to a 92-win season, roughly. So maybe we're not expecting them to win at the same pace they're winning now, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out for the remaining three quarters.
Let me ask you a question,
season.
Vince, before you go too far.
Okay.
Do you know a guy named Usain Bolt?
Yes, of course. Lightning.
Okay, what does he run?
He runs the
What did he run?
He ran the 100 and 200.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was the best in the world for three consecutive
man in the world.
Olympics, right, at those two events.
Okay, so if we're running the 100-meter dash,
mm-hmm.
and I'm on at meter 25,
right,
and I'm beating him.
Right.
Who do you think will win the race?
Lightning bolt will beat you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So let's use your head when we're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates here. Uh-huh. And I even used a 100-meter dash.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to understand about baseball. But go ahead.
Well, I think I'm finished.
I'll let you pick it up from there.
Okay.
I think your striking analogy has silenced the masses, so we can move on from there. What I really want to talk about is, and we can put the Pirates to rest for a moment because Lord knows we got about another 100 games to play. But Tiger Woods, now you know I don't know because I wouldn't know a hole-in-one from a donut hole. But Tiger Woods competed this past weekend and did very well, even though he tied, was one of 11 people tied for sixth place, I believe. Something of the sort.
Actually, he finished, I believe he was tied for 11th.
Tied for 11th
place. Because I was pulling for him to
finish. Well, he's one of six people tied for 11th place.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but when they interviewed him, he was ecstatic. Mm-hmm. He was happy. He said, this is the best I've done this, and it's the best I've done that. And he had a smile on his face. And so how do you finish 11th and feel that great about your game? And what is it that is being suggested now by Tiger Woods?
Because, Vince, do you want this or do you want me to?
Well,
I'll let you go first.
All right. I might say that it was 11th out of 150 guys or however many competed, so that's not bad. To me, it's an absolute miracle what Tiger is doing. To come back from all his injuries and his surgeries, I don't think Tiger himself believes what he's accomplishing. He's hitting the ball 350, 375 yards with a swing speed that's off the charts, as strong as he's ever had at age 40-plus. After
42?
All the 42, it's amazing. Now, he did a double bogey, number 17, yesterday, which knocked him down a few pegs.
Because he went in the water.
That's right. That's the
that's the Island Green.
Most famous hole in all of golf,
mm-hmm.
number 17. Now, I had the occasion to play that course a couple years ago, and on that hole, we were offered the opportunity to hit two shots.
Have you played Oakmont?
I have.
We need to talk after the show.
So I played it twice. But the 17th hole at Sawgrass, my first two shots were pin high. Now, that sounds pretty good, except the pin high was in the water the first two times. So that is a tough hole.
It is.
And he did double bogey it because he dunked it a little short
mm-hmm.
on that hole. But he had an extraordinary round. He was making putts. He was hitting the ball really well. We're all amazed at what he's accomplishing.
Yeah. And let me add a little bit more light on Tiger Woods' play. Webb Simpson actually won the championship, the Players' Championship, and he finished the day or the tournament at minus 18. Now, Bill, you have three rounds, so going into the third round, Tiger was actually tied for 68. Okay, he was placed 68. He moved up to number 11, being tied. So I think going into the last day, Tiger was minus 8. Webb Simpson was minus 19. So he was 11 strokes behind with 18 holes to play. Okay, he shot, I believe, 7 under on round 2. Or round 3, he shot 7 under.
65. Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, he shot, I believe, he had to shoot minus 3, if I'm not mistaken, on Sunday to get to minus 11 overall, somewhere in that neighborhood anyway. So, and on top of that, he played with Jordan Spieth on Sunday.
Right.
And I'm not sure if you noticed, Vince, but he was out driving Spieth.
Right.
Now, Tiger's 42 years old. Right. Jordan Spieth is in his 20s.
Well, I might add that Jordan Spieth is not known for his length, despite his youth. He's an extremely precise
But player. Still, it's very unusual for someone basically 15 to 20 years senior to outdrive the young guys.
Well, what Tiger did on Sunday with an 11-stroke deficit, he's 11 back, he gets it to within 4.
Right.
Because Simpson bogeyed one, and Tiger birdied 6 of the first 12 holes.
Mm-hmm.
So he got within 4. And people were getting really excited about that. And Webb Simpson's here in the gallery, you know, all the roars of the crowd for everything that Tiger was accomplishing.
Right.
He missed a putt on 14 that just lipped out for a bogey. and then he doubled 17. So that was the end of the comeback.
So when you're a professional and you're five strokes ahead, I think Webb Simpson was five strokes ahead of the next person. You basically go into that tournament thinking all I have to do is shoot par, and I'm fine. And that's basically what he did. I think he was plus one on Sunday, and that was good enough to win. But to go back to your question, Bill, Tiger felt good about it because for the complete tournament, most of his holes were very good holes. He didn't have that many bad holes. So he had a bunch of birdies. I don't have the information right in front of me as far as the number of birdies he made, but more especially the last 2 days, he had probably 5 and 6 birdies both days at least.
Well, let me ask both of you two questions, and I want both of you to answer both questions. Having performed as he did and as impressed as you were of it, Vince, for both of you to answer, is the field now once again becoming aware, I dare say conscious, I dare say scared of Tiger? And I know how Kevin feels about this, but I want to hear how you feel, Vince. Will Tiger win more majors? But the first question first, the second question second. You go, Vince.
I would say they're certainly aware of him. There's no question about there. They're amazed at what his comeback. I would not say they're scared, because Tiger dominated golf for, 15 years? He was virtually unbeatable. He's won 79 PGA tournaments. He's won 14 majors. Will he win another major? If he plays like he did this weekend and a couple of things bounce his way, I think he could. He's going to be playing the U.S. Open, I believe. He's certainly playing the Open in England. And a PGA, I don't know if that's on the schedule yet or not. So he's got 3 opportunities left this year. Will he continue at this pace into age 43, 44, 45? I don't know. Mickelson's 48, I think, or so.
Somewhere around there.
Tom Watson almost won the Open, the British Open, at age 60. But for an iron that he overcooked, he would have won that. That would have been extraordinary, because he would have been 10 years older than the next oldest winner of any major, I think. So Tiger could do it. I don't think they're scared of him. I think they're impressed and they're awestruck by what he's doing.
Yeah, Vince, I agree with you from a scared standpoint. No one is scared of Tiger these days. And the main reason the players aren't scared of Tiger, and I've said this many times before when we had Rock Robinson in here, who's a golf Hall of Famer, we had him in. And I mentioned that there's just so many good professional players today. There's no way these guys would be afraid of Tiger, because Webb Simpson was on the verge of breaking the tournament record going into Sunday. So when you have so many good players, and as Vince indicated, there was probably between there, there were all the top players there, but probably between 120 and 150 players in total in the tournament. And when you have the best golfers in the world, it's all about whose day will it be. So you have 10 golfers that play excellent golf, but you can have one golfer that is just their day, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to win, because that golfer is just having his day. Mm-hmm. And I expect Tiger to be in that situation as well. When it comes to golf, I definitely believe as long as you continue to play well, you're going to have your day. Now, and you take Phil Mickelson, for example, this same tournament, he didn't make the cut. So when you, even though he has a win this year, he has a win. However, he hasn't been playing well since he won. I think he won maybe 2 months ago. Yeah. He won. but he really hasn't done anything since then. So I say all of that to say Tiger has been more consistent than a Phil Mickelson and many others. He's just been running into a player in two tournaments this year where they were just unbelievably hot, and he had a very good day, and it wasn't his day because those two players were just incredibly hot.
So you're holding to your prediction that I believe you said you expect him to win three?
No, I expect for him to break the record.
You said four.
I expect for him to break the record, which is five.
You'll have to win five more to get to 19.
To win five more.
Majors. Five more majors.
Yeah. Five more majors.
And let me ask you a question, and I don't mean to be snide about this. Have any other golf professionals felt that he's capable of doing that? I've heard several golf professionals or sports broadcasters suggest he'll win another one or two. I've not heard anyone say that they think he could win five.
I think I heard one. His good friend, and I can't think of his name right now, but he's on the Golf Channel. He mentioned that he believes that he could do it. When you think about it, Tiger's 42 years old. So he should have at least eight more solid years of golf with the type of player he is.
And the way he conditioned and trained, which was trend-setting before his injuries.
Right. So. And I'm going to say, because Phil right now is 47, 48. So I say he has probably 8 to 10 more years. So if he could win one major, there's five majors in a year.
If he wins one a year.
If he wins one every other year, he breaks the record. And that's what I'm looking at. I think he's that good. And when you're that good, you're going to eventually win.
I think it's still four majors
for
this purpose.
Okay. And
yeah,
five,
I thought it was four, yeah.
Right.
Well,
right.
Five is the PGA Championship, which
– Well, but they don't count that toward the major count that Jack has at 18.
Right.
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 All right. Well, there you have it from Vince, you should know that Kevin said to me last night, he'll take your sorry Harvard butt out to any golf course, anytime, anywhere, and mop the greens with you. And that's what he said last night. I don't know if he still feels that way now that you're
Mr.
here.
Mr. Instigator is what you could call him. Mr.
Now that's not what you said. Okay, well,
Kevin sounds like he has game.
Not at all.
Well,
I can't say that.
Yes, it is at all, because we had a golf professional sitting in the seat you're sitting in 3 weeks ago, and he challenged him to go out and golf.
I'm okay.
I don't know if that happened.
But I would love to go out to Oakmont with you. I know that. If you have those connections, I'm in.
If I were a member, I'd take you tomorrow. But I'm not a member.
Okay. All right. Well.
But who knows? Things happen.
Hey, well, next time someone calls you and you need a player, let me know.
You said no hedging. You told Vince no hedging.
Okay.
Now you're backing away from what you said about beating him
around
the
greens. Not at all.
Are you going to beat him or not?
There's no way I could say that I would. I've never seen him golf. I've seen the other players you talked about golf. He might be a scratch golfer, which is par.
You seen Rock Robinson golf?
I have.
Are you better than him?
No, I'm not.
Have you beaten him?
Never played him.
Oh, okay. Can you beat him?
No, I can't. I can't.
That's big of you, Kevin.
I'm being honest again.
In case Rock is listening, I'm an honest guy.
But you said he's in the Hall of Fame. Is that
exactly?
For,
he's expecting me to beat a Hall of Famer.
Now, is that for his wonderful First Tee organization?
It's not for his First Tee organization. Mm-hmm. It's for his play. It's actually the African American Golf Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Well, here's what we do know for sure. Coming up on June.
And he has a new book as well. So, Rock, if you're out there listening, I'm pushing your book also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to push this. Coming up on June 24th, mm-hmm. our good friend Roger Humphreys and the RH Factor are going to be on the river. They're doing a mm-hmm. big thing. On the riverboat. So get in touch or Google RH Factor.
Google, don't you have tickets?
Well, no, I don't have tickets for that. But Vince, read what the website is for that. I don't have my glasses. RH Factor, June 24th. How do they get in contact for tickets?
Yes, www.goo.gl/Q. QV, as in Victor, SBCS.
Once you might want to read that again, Ben.
Yes, it's not intuitive. www.goo.gl/QV, as in Victor, S as in Sam, B as in Brad, C, S as in Sam. And I think that first letter is a Q and not an O.
Is there a phone number there?
And the phone number, yes.
Give them that.
That's easier.
Yeah.
412-321-1069.
So if you want tickets to be with the legend that is Roger Humphreys, the RS Factor, jump on that, give him a phone call, be out there on the riverboat with him. Now, what I do have before Vince delves into this Pennsylvania's Greatest Basketball Players of All Time book, if you would like to have free tickets to the Pittsburgh Pirates, we know Kevin don't want none, so I'll give you Kevin's tickets.
Thank you.
On Wednesday, May 30th, we're going to the ball game. Take us out
and
to
you,
the
you
ball game.
You just told me you don't like to be taken advantage
Take
of.
Take us out to the ball game. Take us out to the crowd. Buy us some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. We don't care if we ever get back. I'm going because the tickets are free. And we want to thank.
Somebody bought them.
We want to thank the Pittsburgh Pirates. We want to thank Joel Gray, the community relations rep over there. And they have donated tickets to Achieving Greatness, Inc., and I want to share them with all my great listeners out there. So if you'd like to have four free tickets to see, not they ain't playing the Little Sisters of the Poor. This is Wednesday, May 30th against the Chicago Cubs. Ball game starts at 7:05. If you want these tickets, the first three people that call me at my number, 412-628-4856, 412-628-4856. That's 412-628-4856. I'll give you four free tickets to the game. So all you got to do is call.
Yeah, you have a lot of tickets in your hand.
Well, but
Bill,
I'm giving away 12.
Give them six.
No, I'm not giving them six.
Give them six.
You know what my grandfather used to say? Get some business, not mine. Get your own business. Yeah, don't worry about my business.
That type of business I don't
but
want.
This ain't your business over here. Lastly.
It was generous of the Pirates to provide these tickets.
Absolutely.
It was generous of co-owner Bill Nutting to contribute toward the Pittsburgh Pipers event.
As we understand. Something like $20,000,
$30,000
No, I didn't hear the number.
A goodly sum.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what the number was. I know the number. Yeah. But listen. Oh, speaking of that. Everybody listening, get your Pittsburgh Courier this week because the photos from that gala appear in the Pittsburgh Courier this week, and they are great. They are great. So, Vince, tell us about this this phenomenal booklet you have here that talks about the greatest of the greats. Yeah.
Well, in the research I did on the Pipers and on Connie Hawkins before the last weekend, I came across a book by Mark Hostetler, 2010, called Heads of State.
Related to Jeff?
No, it's Hostetler.
Oh.
Different spelling. It's Pennsylvania's greatest high school basketball players of the modern era. The modern era was 1950. That included Don Henin from Aliquippa and Pitt. And through 2010. And so it's fascinating because it lists three categories of players. First is the top 150 with a bio on each one. The second group would be the next 75 who get honorable mention. And the last part are the next 275 who round out the 500. So I did a little thing. I went through the book, and I highlighted all the guys on this list that I played against anywhere. And there are 24 guys on the list I played against. And so I did a little thing. It would be kind of fun. It's almost a 6 degrees of separation thing. So the idea would be that if you list everybody that you can remember you played against, and other guys did that, you could see how many hops away you are from LeBron James or Michael
Jordan. 6 degrees of Vince Lackner.
Right. So I went through and I assigned numbers to each player I played against. And if I took the top 150, number one guy, Billy Owens, he would be a 500 as the top scorer. Number two guy, Kobe Bryant, would be number 499, would be 499 points.
Sure.
So I added up all the points that I get using that approach. And my number comes out to 6,634 points. Now, if I had played against every guy on that list in all of Pennsylvania over those 60 years, it would be 72,400 points. So I'm at 9% of the potential.
And the points represent what again?
Represent your ranking in the book.
Okay.
So 1 to 150, if you reverse it and say number 1 is worth 500 points.
Got it.
Number 150 is worth 350 points. And the guys in the next group who are 151 to 225, mm-hmm. if you take the average of the number working from 500, it's an average of 312.
Okay.
In that segment. And then the last group of the 275 guys, the average would be 137 because they're listed in alphabetical order, not in ranking within those second and third groups.
You know what?
Yeah. So just the
but you thing. Got just a little too much time on your hands.
Yeah.
Well, Vince, I'm just saying. No,
but for guys and women who love the game, if you did this and you could say, gee, you know, I played against these guys, and here's where they ranked, and it would be fun to have a little game where you almost gamify this.
Mm.
Right. So anyway, that's my thoughts. Wonderful book. I got it.
Well, do us
Amazon.
A favor. Yep. Give us the top 10. And does Kenny give us the names of some of the local guys that appear there?
Sure. Okay.
Can you get some books for the people that are going to the Pirate game?
right. Maybe. Of the local guys.
Well, give the top 10 first.
Top 10 overall.
The top 10 greatest players.
Top 10 greatest players. Okay. From number 10 down to number 1.
Yeah.
Okay, number 1 being the greatest, single greatest player. Going in that order, Larry Miller, Catasauqua. Maurice Lucas, number 9.
Mm.
Gene Banks, number 8. Sam Bowie, number 7. Kenny Durrett, number 6.
Mm.
Rasheed Wallace, number 5. Tom McMillan, number 4. Will Chamberlain, number 3. Kobe Bryant, number 2. Billy Owens, number 1. Based primarily on your record as a high school player in Pennsylvania. In terms of local guys.
Kenny landed at number 6.
Yeah. So in terms of local guys, I would say the top 9, I have the list here. Jeep Kelly, not the top 9, the top 9 identified
mm-hmm.
players I played against at any point. Connie Hawkins would be a large part of that. Jeep Kelly, number 134. B.B. Flannery, 75. Ricky Coleman, 83. Ed Fleming, 55. Brad Davis, 52. Billy Knight, 46. Julius McCoy, who was the brother of Connie's brother-in-law, Jim McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Number 24, Maurice Lucas, number 9, Kenny Durrett, number 6.
I'm a little surprised that BB would come in ahead of Coleman, ahead of Ricky Coleman.
By a little bit, yeah. 75 versus 83.
Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do with this, Kevin?
Well, next week, Bill, we just want our audience to know that we're going to have the Aliquippa football staff in. So Mike Warfield, actually, believe it or not, the first black head football coach in Aliquippa.
That is hard to believe.
103 seasons.
Yeah, that is hard to believe. And so
who has, by the way, a son named Isaiah Warfield.
Yes.
Who's a sophomore at Swickley Academy, who's absolutely a wonderful player.
Okay.
So you're ready to shake up the dust one more time.
Hey.
They already put this Aliquippa thing to bed. Now you're going to just ruffle some feathers one more time.
Not at all. We're talking about Aliquippa football, how great the program is, the best football program in Western Pennsylvania. What are the plans to move the football program forward? So it'll be, again, Mike Warfield, the head coach of the team, as well as two of his assistants,
and that's
the offensive
next week?
Coordinator and the defensive coordinator.
That's next week?
Yes, that's next week.
Well, that's what you're going to be talking about.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking about what happened to the other guy, why did he get thrown out, and what's the truth? That's what I'm going to be talking about. So well, I'm going to ruffle some feathers.
Keep in mind who you'll have in the room as well because, you know, Bill, you're known for saying all kind of crazy things about Aliquippa.
I'm also known for backing stuff up. I'm also known for
again, now you'll probably be real quiet next week.
Look, we can sing or we can dance. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. But no hedging.
And I'm not holding
back. You told Vince.
I'm not holding back.
All right,
back.
No hedging. No hedging. Well, look, this brings us to the end of a great show, man. We want to thank Vince Lagner for being here with us and bringing all that Harvard stuff with him and all the dats and the stats and the data and the who's all that. And you know people in Alabama can't understand this stuff, man.
See what I'm saying,
man? I'm just saying.
Next week he won't say all of this.
No, I just –
Bill will be diplomatic.
I kid. Just because I played at Penn Hills, just because I'm a Penn Hills student athlete who graduated from one of the more illustrious classes in Whipple history, doesn't mean I think any less of people from Aliquippa.
Thank you.
We want to thank Vince Lagner for being here. We want to thank our brother Trev at the wheel for maintaining this insanity. And I appreciate you listening to Kevin Cameron and all his craziness. We will be back next week. Soul Take Champions Live coming to you live. Remember, champions aren't born, they're made. We make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape. The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.